sing you a song. I will try not to sing out of key. Yeah. Oh, baby,
oh man, this show. You guys all watch The Wonder Years, right?
What show is that?
The Wonder Years.
The year? Let me wonder about that.
Wait, is that the show from like the 80s that was about like the 50s?
It was actually the late 60s, Dan. But yes, it was. It was The Wonder Years. Starring Kevin, Fred Savage.
Fred
Savage.
Dude.
The less of the popular Savage Brothers.
Right. But he set the tone.
He did.
He set the tone.
Because that basically was Boy Meets World, just kind of 30 years in the past, wasn't it?
A less comedic version of Boy Meets World.
My fond memories of The Wonder Years is that it was this, like, a serious tone almost. So it wasn't a sitcom by any means.
Right. It was just funny because horrible shit happened to the characters. Right.
The big brother was such a dickhead. He was slapping Kevin in the back of the head. I think every single episode I saw him do something to Kevin. It was either a wedgie, a smack in the back of the head, prank.
That'd be a good drinking game if you're watching The Wonder Years and every time he's a dick, you have to drink.
Yeah, or every time you just fear the dad. Because I remember that was the first dad ever on TV where I was like, holy shit, don't say anything, Kevin.
Who did you fear most, him or your own dad?
Ooh.
Oh, the Wonder Years dad, for sure. Because he looks like he carried two belts, one to wear around his waist and then one in his pocket just to whip out. So he wouldn't have to remove it and possibly have his pants fall down.
He beat the shit out of not only his kids, the misbehaving kids of the entire neighborhood. That was that kind of dad.
Yeah.
And that was Kevin's dad.
Right.
Yeah. And then, but I think the scariest person out of that entire series was his friend, the really freaky looking kid
Marilyn
with the
Manson.
Glasses.
Oh yeah, the serial killer, you mean?
Josh, I think Saviano or whatever his name was. Yeah, yeah. You know who I had a real big crush on? I think everybody did at the time was...
Kevin?
Marilyn Manson Jr.?
Going after my heart, guys. Going after my heart. It was actually Winnie Cooper. I think Winnie Cooper might have been my first crush ever on TV.
With or without the glasses?
Ooh. I'd take it either way, man. I mean, honestly,
Wasn't she supposed to be like 12 years old when she had glasses on, though?
Yeah, I mean, I'm throwing myself back at the time. And I mean,
come on, Brian.
Brian, I would have asked her to go steady, man. We would have been going to every single dance. She would have asked me.
She would have had the varsity jacket real quick.
Exactly, man. She would have had my initials on it. She would have asked me to the Sadie Hawkins dance.
They would have driven a makeout point.
Yeah, you want to know a cool story, actually, guys? I met Danica McKellar when I was like 10. The girl that played Winnie Cooper. I met her at a Chuck E. Cheese at a birthday party. And it was probably one of the coolest.
And why aren't you married to her now? What did you do?
I dropped the ball, man. I think she was like 18 at the time, too. Like, she's a little bit older than us.
Wait, so was she like making an appearance at the birthday party? Or she was just randomly there and you, at 10 years old, had the balls to go talk to Winnie Cooper?
Well, actually, if I remember it right, I think what had happened, because I think she has ties to San Diego somehow. Like, I think it was family or somehow.
Everybody does.
Yeah, yeah. It was something like that. But I remember I was playing Road Warrior Master Blaster, the driving game or whatever, and I remember my aunt comes over and she's like, Brett, Winnie Cooper's over there. You gotta go and say hi. And I'm just like, just got up, went right over there. Talked to Winnie Cooper for a little bit.
Spilled your soda on her shiz.
Oh my god, yeah.
Threw up on her lap.
I mean, yeah, she's 40 now. She looks pretty good for a 40-year-old.
She's 40 now? Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah.
Danica McKellar is rocking it, and she's smarter than shit, too. I mean, that's
another thing.
She's
pretty stupid.
that's a good point, actually. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's really
Thanks
hard.
For listening.
It's really hard
we
to transition.
We appreciate your patience during this time.
We are Pop Not Soda. Your weekly sits pack of pop culture. Thank you for joining us for episode 29. We're almost as old as Brett.
Almost.
Dude, you are climbing a thin rope
every
walking
week.
A thin rope
every
right
week.
Now, Ben. Walking a thin ass rope.
And we, again, thank you for tuning in. We've got a great episode. A lot of headlines this week.
Yeah, a lot of shit happened.
Especially just today, on this Wednesday. I know you may be listening to us on Monday, but we're recording on this fine Wednesday evening.
Some insider information we record.
Hump day?
Yes.
Every Wednesday.
Mike.
Whenever you think of Pop Not Soda, please think of Hump Day.
And the Geico commercials.
Yes. But I have to get to this story right away. I've got to get to this story right away before we crash. And that is the story of the Clock Kid out of Dallas, Texas.
You mean the clock terrorist?
Just because his name is Ahmed Mohammed. Yeah, this kid has gone through some shit in the past, I want to say, 24 to 48 hours.
I'm sure a lot of the viewers are going to know much about the story come Monday. But Dan, give us a brief synopsis of what happened today. I think it happened like literally 6 hours ago.
Yeah, I think he was suspended either yesterday or even earlier today. But Ahmed Mohammed is a freshman high schooler in Texas. And smart kid, likes to mess around with electronics. He has an engineering class. So he, at home, made a clock out of a pencil case, working holographic
digital clock.
Brought it to school to show his engineering teacher. Engineering teacher was impressed, but said, hey, maybe you shouldn't show any of the other teachers. And when I read that, I was like, first red flag. One, as a teacher, maybe you should be like, hey, let me hold on to this for you for the rest of the day.
Right.
So nothing happens. Or maybe tell the teachers, like, oh, hey, it's just a clock. Because then in his English class, an alarm he had set with the clock that he had made goes off. Teacher sees it, goes, what is that? He goes, it's a clock. It's a clock I made. But what is it? It's a clock. Tell me what it is. And then tells the principal, hey, I have a student here being uncooperative, has a device that looks like a bomb. So they call the police. Police come, put the kids in handcuffs, and take them down to juvie, where he gets fingerprinted and questioned.
And he still isn't actually convicted of anything, right?
No.
And what's he going to be convicted
of? I mean, not so convicted. Crime, I'm sorry. They haven't even charged him of anything.
Well, the crime is that he was arrested for is a hoax bomb. Bringing out, like, a hoax bomb to a school.
God forbid any alarms go off.
Which is, like, a serious thing to, like, charge somebody with. And so this story breaks, and the wave of public support this kid has received has been the coolest part of it. The only cool thing about this story is you had Martin Zuckerberg on Facebook, because, you know, he doesn't tweet, posting that Ahmed's welcome to Facebook anytime. He'd love to see his clock and talk to him about inventing stuff. You had all these guys from like JPL, 3M, saying that they would love to have him come to our science fair. There was like a Dallas hacker convention that's this weekend that was like, they stand with Ahmed and they have his back. And the president, Barack Obama, invited him to the White House so he could show Barack his clock.
Cool clock, man. Want to bring it to the White House. I think that's one of the greatest parts about the current state of the internet is that when people fuck up and it gets put out on the World Wide Web, there is nothing to hide behind. You are going to be fully exposed and in most cases, you know, deservedly so. And I predict that multiple individuals involved with the rest of this kid, whether it be the principal, the teacher that reported him, the police chief that's overseeing it, the officers that were on site, that they will no longer be in their current state of employment, you know, in the next few months.
Oh, yeah. When the president of the United States steps in and kind of corrects where you're going with things, that's it's a big...
You're getting a phone call the next day that you don't want to get.
The one thing that boggles my mind is, so after all of this has come out, press conferences, statements issued and so on, the police department is still deciding whether or not it should press charges. So he can still be arrested and have to go to trial. And the police commissioner said, oh, well, you know what? You just can't bring stuff like that to school. We didn't do anything wrong. It's still his fault.
Yeah,
that's the world we live in.
He verbatim said, "We live in a world where you can't bring that type of stuff to school. It's a fucking science project." If we live in a world where kids can't take science projects to school, then what fucking world do we live in?
He's such an Orwellian example of a fucking police, a police state these days.
Yeah, exactly.
Give me a fucking break, man. Go back. I mean, what's insane about it too is when you look at this thing, I think anybody that has any common sense, they've showed 1,000 pictures of the thing on the TV by now. You look at it and you're like, well, that there's no fucking way that thing could blow up. I've seen every angle of that thing, and I'm like, how would you get any idea that this thing is a bomb?
If you've ever watched a season of 24, you know that's not a bomb.
Like, take apart my PlayStation controller. That thing looks scarier. That thing looks scarier than what Ahmed brought to school.
Like, it's a pencil case. It had like one circuit board and a couple wires and a display.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where's the C4?
And also, the kid in question, I would have never even guessed that he is, you know, Middle Eastern in descent. To me, like, nothing screams out suspicious person. And I think just the simple fact that his name is his name, you know, is one of the reasons why you had to have police intervention.
I think it definitely... And I can see where an argument comes in where they're like, well, the teacher is told to do this. Like, if they see something suspicious, they should report it to the principal. Okay, I can give a pass. But then the principal then goes, oh, well, I've got to call the cops for this. Still, you're fucking up. And then the cops being like, yeah, we got to arrest you and take you downtown. And then when they asked him, what is this? Oh, it's a clock I made. Well, no, what is it? It's a goddamn clock. Because they don't think... What this tells me is that they don't believe the device was harmful. They believe the person is harmful.
Yeah.
Because they believe more so that he would make a bomb, more so than this clock would be a bomb.
And you know what? Good for you. Good for you, Ahmed, for, I mean, being bigger than this whole situation, too. Because, yeah. I mean, like everybody knows that. I mean, I think today... Every single religion is persecuted in some region of the world, one way or another, or whatever. And you're deemed as a threat in some way, or one way or another. If this happened to me, where somebody like feared my religion, and I got like just slammed and thrown up for something I didn't have anything to do with, I'll tell you, it would take so much in my fiber to not come out of this thing and go like, "Yeah, thank God I'm out of this thing. Thank God, praise." Praise Jesus. See ya. He hasn't done anything like that yet. So, I mean, good for you. You're bigger than this whole thing. Because that's what I would do in this situation.
Tough, yeah, and it's tough to put that on a 14-year-old.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, at 14...
Oh, domestic terrorism? You think that might be a...
As a 14-year-old, I wasn't dealing with domestic terrorism.
Yeah.
I mean, you were still getting over Winnie Cooper at 14.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was finding hair on my nuts. Yeah.
Like... I don't think I could, like, he built a damn clock as a 14-year-old. I don't think any of us could build a clock right now if we were asked.
If I remember it right, I was setting shit on fire at a much earlier age. So you were much building, more you were dangerous. Destructing. Which was much more dangerous. I didn't get anything that this poor kid did. Well, yeah. Sorry for you, Ahmed.
Well, Ahmed, we stand with you and fuck the world we live in.
Yeah, keep making... digital clocks.
I mean, by the way, also, which watch brand is going to claim this kid first?
Apple.
Rolex.
Make the briefcase watch?
Well, no, I'm just saying, like, I didn't see, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but I didn't see, like, a watch brand come out and be like, we stand with Ahmed.
Yeah.
Which I totally thought, that's a total swoop.
Yeah.
Timex.
Mm-hmm.
Being like, Ahmed, we got you, bro.
Ironically, these days, in this day and age, too, today... people are siding with a Muslim person when people aren't siding with an American person about something related to Muslims today that just came out, right, Dan?
Oh, you're talking about goddamn Kevin.
Ooh,
and not Kevin. Wonder Years Kevin.
Mm, mm.
Kevin from the League.
Public enemy number one right now.
Which I don't even want to refer to you as your real name.
SMH.
Because this sounds like something out of an episode of the League.
Right.
Because it's so ridiculous... I don't want it to be true.
it's yeah, I mean, it's unfathomable that somebody would make up something that has nothing to do with related to getting them bigger in their career at all.
There's no need for this ridiculous story. So basically, the actor who plays Kevin from The League was a former financial services professional. He worked for like Merrill Lynch or B of A.
Steven Ranasizzi. Ranasizzi.
That's our crack research team right there.
Yep. We move lightning quick. And he was actually working in New York at the time of the attacks of September 11th. But he was in, I think, Manhattan. But for years, he's claimed that he was actually in one of the towers, saw the first tower hit with a plane, and was able to escape the second tower before the second plane hit. And has stuck by this story, again, for years. The truth is that this was the reason why he left, like, the corporate business world and became an actor, comedian. So that part's true. But to fabricate the fact that you were in one of the World Trade Center buildings is just, like, it's just hard to swallow.
It really is. It's so offensive. I mean, it really is so offensive to think about it. And I mean, in a day and age where people are getting offended about every single fucking thing under the sun, this is the one thing where it's like, man, this is an American tragedy. And you thought that you could somehow, you know, like, take advantage of this, like, and for such a selfish thing. It's ridiculous to me. What's crazy about it too is when you hear this story, like, I like, when I first heard it, I was like, okay, give this guy a break. What did maybe happen? I think everybody's kind of told a fib or two, a lie in the, you know, in their life. You read the story and then you're like, you're hearing clips and you're like, my God, man, this is like a really vivid story. This isn't you just claiming that you were in like a car accident or something. Like, you are making up very vivid details, which I think makes it that much more of a harder pill to swallow. Because you're just like, man, how far of lengths did you go to actually fabricate this story to make it believable?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like a plot of a TV show. It seems like, yeah, Barney Stinson, right, from How I Met Your Mother used this line to pick up a girl, and then she believed him, wrote an article about it, and then he had to create this elaborate lie because you don't go back on that. And that's what it seems like. Because I think the difficult part too is that this is himself 10 years ago that came up with this lion story. And to live with that for a decade or more so has to eat at you. But I mean, he just didn't come out and admit that he lied. It was because somebody at the New York Times decided, let me look into this. And then found out that, yeah, he had holes in his story and he actually was working in Midtown and not anywhere near the World Trade Center that day.
Yeah. And you wonder what this backlash is going to look like in terms of his career, because Buffalo Wild Wings
just
already
started that campaign, yeah.
Right, they started a campaign with him last year and have already announced that they're probably going to cut all his shit. He has like a new comedy special coming out. He's got the new season of The League coming out. I mean, obviously those things will be released, but I mean, something like this might be impossible to get away from to save his career.
Yeah.
Because he's always going to be known as a guy who lied about
9/11. Yeah. Like, you know, it's the worst thing to be known about.
It's sacred, you know? It's just hard to even think about.
Like, say those words again. The guy who lied about 9/11. Like, how is that even...
I mean... Yeah, Bush has had that title for 14 years.
Right.
And now it's going to be Kevin from The League.
Yeah, it's crazy, man.
It's Condoleezza Rice when you need her.
Yeah, it's crazy. So,
I mean, at least I will say, he did come out, and he didn't make any excuses, which is something that we rarely get these days, because people just love to fucking make excuses and not take responsibility. And I'm not saying that he had anything else like he could say.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
But what's his
plan B?
He could have been, I was so traumatized, I felt like I was there.
I thought I was 60 miles closer than I was.
Shit, yeah. It was actually the tsunami. Yeah. It was actually the tsunami. Yeah, I forgot.
But it's just, that's just a story that you just, It's not real. I mean, Pete Davidson was quoted about making a joke. Because Pete Davidson, if you don't know, he is the youngest guy on SNL. He's from Guy Code and Girl Code on MTV. And he did the Justin Bieber roast.
This is a sad story.
Yeah, he lost his father in 9/11 because his father was working the towers. So, Pete Davidson, whose father actually died in 9/11, made a joke about Rana Zizi's lie. Rana Zizi's lie.
Who gives a shit how you pronounce it?
And Pete said that he didn't get the joke.
Yeah.
Get it?
I get it. I get it.
Because he wasn't there.
Right.
Yeah. I totally get it. It's... I mean, it's... It's ridiculous. Good luck. I mean, I know. No,
that,
not
and
good
that,
luck
that's the worst part, too, is I really like the guy. I think he's really funny. But you're never, you know, no one's ever going to look at him the same again.
He always sounds to me like he has, like, a whole mouth of, like, M&Ms. Like, he just, like, he just sounds like that
well,
to me. He's
lead,
got that obnoxious kind
his,
of
like,
voice.
Character. Like, his mouth is always agape. He's not the smartest dude, even though he's a public defender.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't mind not seeing him anymore.
Yeah, so. I don't think it's gonna break anyone's heart out there. Yeah.
Well, I mean, at least there's some better
more
news.
More taco.
Some better news out of New York, right, Brett?
Yes, there was actually, and I mean, this was probably one of the most awesome things I've seen this week. I think we all can agree. What's her name? It's Madeline Stewart. So Madeline Stewart, first off, hats off to you. She's an 18-year-old girl. She rocked the New York Fashion Week this week. She's the first person ever to have Down syndrome, and she rocked the hell out of this. And just want to tell you, Pop Not Soda wants to wish you best of luck in your modeling career, Madeline Stewart. You are going to have a great career, and best of luck to you. Keep on rocking it.
Yeah. Yep. Amen. Madison, keep it going.
Madeline,
I'm sorry. Madeline and Ahmed and Steve or Kevin. Go the fuck away.
Yes, you suck. Do you, boo. You do you.
I think with that first segment of news, we're going to take a break. I'm kind of exhausted talking about the state of the country at the moment.
Yeah. And the debates are tonight. That's just going to get us more miserable.
God, more Donald Trump.
We'll have some stuff to talk. We sound like crotchety old men right now. This
hell
is like grumpy old men.
We've got a better
men.
Segment coming up, okay? We started out with Winnie Cooper. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
But
it'll get...
Brian, you've got a movie better. Review, like always.
I do. Unfortunately, this movie's kind of a fucking downer, too.
Jeez Louise.
But I had to watch it so I could officially check it off the 2015 Academy Award Best Picture list.
Woo!
The Theory of Everything... Starring Eddie
Raymond,
and the film is about the life of Stephen Hawking. Really interesting stuff, and I'll be back to talk about it.
Yeah, we've got some NFL talk because the season's back.
Woo!
And shitty commercials.
Yeah.
So we'll try and brighten your day. After
we'll try and brighten. Listen to one right now.
We'll try and brighten your day and not be some old men right now. This is Pop Not Metamucil. We'll be back.
Well, you know what time it is. It's time to talk about Pop Not Soda. Just not about how awesome our listeners have been, but how you can continue listening to us. Because releases of new episodes are every Monday. On iTunes now. iTunes Podcast, that's right, you heard us.
Yeah!
PopNotSoda.podbean.com and PointAndYell.com. Three places for you to find our wonderful episodes.
Thanks, Point and Yell.
We appreciate you listening and supporting us. And we hope you keep coming back every Monday for your weekly six-pack of pop culture.
You make it so sexy. Goodbye.
yes, all. That Granny Sax means it's time for Brian's homeless movie reviews. Started unemployed, then I got a job, now I have no home. So here we are. I know you just got that gingerbread man straight out of the oven. The limbs don't look quite right, but it's because you didn't use the cutout. But put that down. Leave the gumdrops, because I'm talking about some Stephen Hawking tonight. Yes, folks, the theory of everything is on the menu, and I might send it back to the chef, because it's fucking boring. I mean, like, I don't want to, you know, don't get me wrong. I'm not knocking Stephen Hawking at all. Definitely not trying to knock Eddie Redmayne's performance, who ended up winning the Oscar. Well-deserved. He was unbelievable in the role. But, man, this movie was just so fucking boring and depressing and, like, makes you think of yourself as insignificant in the universe. I mean, it's an amazing story about, you know, one man overcoming just really shitty situation and still being able to propel himself in the upper echelon of intellects to ever live on the planet. So, like, that part of the story, really cool. It's also interesting to see his relationship, like, with his wife and his kids and that whole backstory, because that's something that is rarely talked about and also something you don't really think about when you think of Stephen Hawking. You know, you just think about The Theory of Everything that sold, or A Brief History in Time, which has sold 10 million copies, and you think about, you know, the shitty situation that he's in the fucking wheelchair that talks. The movie starts out in his early college life when he initially meets his first wife, has three kids with her. He is attacked by this really horrible disease, ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, in his very early 20s while he is going through his PhD program. You know, he can still talk and function somewhat normally. He has to, like, walk with a cane, eventually is forced to use a wheelchair for the most part. But, you know, is still cognizant, can still, you know, talk for the most part. But it, you know, slowly, progressively gets worse. He ends up contracting pneumonia when he goes to, like, an opera trip. And as a result, I don't even know why this was necessary, but they had to give him a tracheotomy at that point to keep him alive, and he was unable to talk. And, you know, this is back in a day and age where computers and touch screens and things like that didn't exist. So he had to figure out really creative ways to communicate because his brain's still working, and that's, you know, locked in. So he's, you know, still one of the smartest dudes on the face of the earth. He's just, like, in a shell that can't react. You know, eventually they figure out ways for him to communicate, whether it be through, like, boards and he can blink, or, like, you know, move his eyes towards a general area. And then he gets, like, a clicker where he's able to determine, like, letters in the alphabet so you can spell things out, and there's a very rudimentary, like, Siri type device that can recite what he's typing. And, you know, like, eventually now I don't even know what he uses, but he's able to respond pretty quickly.
Let me guess, the earlier stages thing sounds very human like
What do you mean?
The voice box that they put him on.
Oh yeah, absolutely not robotic at all and totally creepy. And, you know, there's been a few jokes on Family Guy that have kind of touched on that. The dude in the Special Olympics that talks shit through the speaker box. But yeah, I mean, fuck, man. This movie is just, it's such a a hard thing to sit through. Like, I get why it was nominated for Best Picture. It's a really masterful story that is told through just, like, phenomenal acting by everyone involved. But it's just, it's not exciting. You know what happens if you have followed Stephen Hawking at all in the last 20 years. And it's just a fucking downer at the end of the day, because, God, this guy just goes through so much, and it's just, you know, like, you're so frustrated for him, and it's just so ironic that a guy with such a great, brilliant mind, you know, just physically is useless, you know, for lack of a better word. Again, you know, no knock to Stephen Hawking, but it's just, it is what it is. In the end, you know, it's a great piece of film. It's really well done. Acting is great, obviously, with the award to Eddie Raymond for best actor. But, man, I would not sit through that thing again, nor would I really, you know, recommend it to most people.
Ooh, I'm curious.
Wrapping up, I'm giving Theory of Everything 2 out of 5. Quarters.
Because
I'm homeless, right? There's quarters this time. Again, you know, the movie itself, really well done, but fucking A, like, there's just no entertaining parts about it in my mind. You know?
There's no, like, car wash music sequence or anything happening?
No, I mean, you watch the Daredevil the actor that plays the Daredevil in Netflix series, who's also in Boardwalk Empire, I don't know his name off the top of my head, but he plays his caregiver and eventually ends up, I don't want to spoil anything, but he ends up becoming very close with Stephen Hawking's wife, and it's just like...
Sounds like you spoiled something.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, you'll see Stephen Hawking apparently does well with the ladies.
Nice. Good for you, Stephen.
The good nerds, they good. Win in the end.
Yeah.
Good for you, Stephen. So two quarters.
2 quarters, yeah.
That's a rough one.
That's steep. I think Ted 2 got 4 pay shots, so I guess we'll have to estimate what's worth more.
Yeah. 2 quarters, 4 paychecks. 4 quarters, maybe. Because guess what is back this week? NFL. That was the cheesiest transition ever, but I just made it happen.
Not a bad transition.
It's not that bad. Yeah.
But yes, football's back.
Football is back.
And the
back.
Chargers are undefeated.
Woo-wee!
Let's just end the season right now.
Super Bowl bound.
Yep.
The soon-to-be-determined future city San Diego Chargers...
Mm-hmm. TBD Chargers
did pull out a win. It was a little painful to watch in the first half, I must admit.
Tale of two halves.
Woo.
Yeah, and that
second
first
half was nasty, though.
Yeah,
it was 21-3.
I believe that's what it was before going in.
21-3 at half, and then they scored,
or maybe six.
14. It was 14-3. Yeah.
Okay. Semantics. But
and then it was 21-3, though, however.
It was 21-3 at one point during the game.
During the game.
And it did not look good leading for quite a while. Come back for the second half. I don't know what the hell happened in the locker room, but... Ooh-wee, that defense.
MJ's secret stuff.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
And that defense, man.
Yeah, well, Phillip Rivers decided to quit being timid and just throw the ball to Keenan Allen, who ended up with... how many receptions?
Catches,
15 receptions?
153.
Franchise
yards.
Record, I think. He tied it.
Yeah.
Kellen Winslow.
Yeah, I mean, you had the Chargers with a great victory. You had no offensive touchdown scored in a game between Baltimore and Denver. You had the number one pick versus... Denver. I shouldn't say number one pick, but yeah, number one pick in Jameis Winston versus Marcus Mariota, where... Marcus Mariota really showed him up.
Absolutely. Just like I thought he would.
It would. Yeah, it was bound to happen. Jameis Winston got booed. Did you see
that?
But he
didn't even have that bad of a game, though.
I don't know.
He still threw for 2 touchdowns. Like,
true. Like, but, yeah. I mean, his first throw was a pick six.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
And it was ugly. Mind you, too, let's not forget, the guy is a fucking dickhead. So I think that really wears him thin with a lot of patience.
Well, I think it's funny that he's only lost, I think, 2 or 3 times in the past 3 years. And they've all been to Marcus Mariota.
Yeah. Well, that stings. It stings a lot more in professional football, too. Yeah,
I really want to be inappropriate and scream what he screamed at Florida State, but I can't think of it. I think I know it, but I don't want to say it and be wrong.
You had Rex Ryan come out and just beat down the Colts, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
That was
upset city.
Bloody. Yeah. They just controlled that game.
Oh, and then how about the Sunday night game? Cowboys-Giants with, I think, the worst clock management of all time that I've ever witnessed in a football game. The Giants had the ball 3rd down on the goal line. The Cowboys did not have a timeout left, and the Giants decided to throw the ball, and, you know, which is okay, fine with that, but if there's nothing open, Eli, you take the sack so the clock runs.
You don't throw it up.
And you're still on, you know, maybe the 10-yard line at worst. And you ended up kicking a field goal anyway, but instead he decided to throw the ball out of the back of the end zone, stop the clock. The Giants proceeded to kick a field goal, go up by 6 points. Again, the field goal decision, don't know what you're doing there, Tom Coughlin. Make them go 99 yards. And then the Cowboys proceeded to just walk down the field and score a touchdown.
And it was nasty, too. It was nasty. The Cowboys knew exactly what they needed to do, and they did it.
Without Dez Bryant.
Without Dez Bryant.
Who's out anywhere from 4 to 8 weeks after having surgery on a broken foot.
Which was I didn't see it at first, but when they replayed that play, man, it looked pretty nasty.
It's one of those injuries where you step wrong.
Yeah.
Like, it, you know, you get a little bit of contact, and it just happens.
Yeah.
And
2 great Monday night games, too.
That second game was Carlos Hyde's coming out party.
Adrian Peterson sucked it up bad.
Yeah, but
I'd say that. Yeah,
I wouldn't say that's
Chip Kelly's late start offense.
Yeah,
versus a really mean Atlanta Hawks defense. It looked like pretty good. But you know what? You can't escape this NFL season.
Ooh,
is the commercials. And usually, you know, NFL commercials are good. They're funny, they're witty, they make you laugh, or they use a little bit of overt sexual tones to sell a product. But these two companies, who are relatively the same market, well, they are the same market, but relatively the same thing, their commercials suck. And they're every 5 minutes. And that is DraftKings and FanDuel.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they're like infomercials.
Yes.
Is really what they are. And
because those are oh so effective.
Right, right. And what I compare these two companies to is, you know, like 7, 8 years ago when poker was exploding.
Yeah.
And that was what everybody was doing. And online poker became a thing. And then you had Poker Stars and, I don't know, whatever other company. Poker Stars, great job of marketing because I don't remember the other fucking company. You had these two companies just rise above the competition. And they were just throwing advertising at you all day long. And now it's with One Day Fantasy Sports.
ESPN is even sponsored by DraftKings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't even do a damn Yahoo search without seeing articles like plagued down the middle column of just like,
oh, the FanDuel.
And it's like the most bullshit kind of Ashley Madison sleazy marketing campaign where it's like girlfriend left boyfriend immediately. What the, like, there's so much stuff that it doesn't make sense in this thing.
Yeah, like the And the advertisement is, oh, you know, this business worked so well because I only spent $5 and now I'm a multi-millionaire. No, DraftKings. That would not be true. Not everybody gets to win millions of dollars because then you would be bankrupt.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, why these two companies are in our faces all day long is because they both had huge injections of capital investment, you know, relatively recently, where they now both are operating with $100 million marketing budgets.
Yeah, they have a huge cash flow to spend right now on marketing.
And it's just crazy to think about. And I honestly think this will eventually become the new fantasy sports. Like, you're not going to sit around with your buddies, draft a team, and have them be your players through the entire season. I think it's going to get to a point where you're just going to, you know, draft a team every week.
Yeah.
Because this is going to just catch on like wildfire. And, you know, it could potentially be more fun if you're a guy that drafts a lot of players that get injured often. And, yeah, I really think this could potentially be the future of fantasy sports.
I was chatting with a guy today at my work, too, about it. We chat about this often, too, because I didn't know about this until, like, a week and a half ago, until he kind of told me he was into it. And then I just saw these ads where it was like, it was every single place I turned. DraftKings. I forgot too. I did a trial on one of them. I forgot which one I signed on to. And I remember the other day I was trying to log into one and completely forgot that I had set it up on the other one. FanDuel or DraftKings or whatever the hell it is. But we talk about this at work and stuff. And the craziest thing about it too is, think about it this way. Like, not everybody wins. And it's almost like the lottery, where at first it was somewhat of a good idea when it was like a smaller pool of people that had no idea what to fucking do. No idea what to do. They didn't know half of the rules. They didn't know what was going on, anything like that. Now, you legitimately have people that spend tens of thousands of dollars on a single day just to rake in cash because they have, like, from what I've heard, they have, like, AI programs that actually like figure this out and do it all for them. And it's like, well, I don't have time to do that shit. And I mean, at some, like, what they're doing right now is they're just marketing because they know, I mean, me, I've spent $10 on it. They know everybody's going to kind of toss in their nickels and dimes, and at the end of the day the loss isn't going to be that big. And it's almost like a slot machine. If you walked away with one win, regardless of how big it is, I spent $20. Hey, I won once for $5. I didn't get that gypped walking away from this whole thing. They're just going to make a shitload of money off of this for long time.
If you think about it, what? There were 104 million, 106 million people that watched the Super Bowl. If half of those people spend $10 on your website, that's fucking over $500 million.
Yeah. I mean, what... what this is to me is like a very dumbed down version of like commodities or stock trading.
Yes.
Where you can start with a very low amount of money compared to if you wanted to start like trading stocks, you know, you have to have at least four figures, probably closer to five figures if you want to, you know, make some real money. But with, you know, these sites where you can play a game for $2, you know, what's $2?
I almost think it's like betting on Monopoly, because that's what you're doing. You're getting fake, like, you put $10 in, you get a fake amount of money to then buy players with, or properties if you were playing Monopoly. And then whichever player scores the most, whichever property gets landed on the most, is who's going to win. That's what it is. I mean, it's... And I think
they have a Monopoly? We should do that. Guys, let's talk about that afterwards.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Gambling Monopoly?
Monopoly. Pop Not Monopoly. Say
Popinopoly.
That five times
Popinopoly.
Fast.
Popinopoly.
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 There we go. We have
at
to
Popinopoly.
Have to throw the underscore in there somewhere, though.
Yeah, the underscore. But it's still... What gets me back to this is the fact that their marketing fucking sucks. Like, it's just... It comes off to me as like the check to cash places where they're telling you how much money they got in advance, or the payday advance places. And it's not like to us, it's not effective at all. I think what's more effective is word of mouth.
Yeah.
Like you said, you had a buddy talk to you at work about it. But yeah, their advertising, nothing they've done has seemed successful to anyone I know. Or, like, I don't see why it would be. Unless you just had a gambling problem.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, eventually one of these promos is going to get me. Like, we'll, you know, you pay $20, we'll match $500. Then I'm going to be like, okay, let's try this shit out and see what happens.
You're going to get an email in about a week from now that's going to be like, hey, remember that PokerStars account that you had that shut down? You can reestablish that with DraftKings, and we'll match your pot for $200.
Okay, I mean.
Yeah, so, I mean, that'll happen. But like you're saying, though, there's a ton of shitty, shitty commercials out these days. These are some of them. There are some other ones, though, that I've seen, too, that are pretty bad. Brian, you were talking about one, too, earlier.
Yeah, I fucking hate these KFC commercials.
Oh
my good chicken. I mean, I think...
Finger licking good.
I think the original ones with Daryl Hammond were good. Because he was...
Creepy.
He was Colonel Sanders.
And
like,
he was
the character. Super creepy. And you know he was just thinking racist thoughts.
Yeah, my roommate says that, like, he was believable because he probably owned a plantation to get into that role.
Yeah, I believe it. But this whole campaign they have with Norm MacDonald right now, where there was one commercial I saw where he's, like, you know, playing an actor at the beginning, and then as he puts pieces of clothing on to dress as the colonel, he becomes the colonel.
Oh,
and I just shut up and show me some chicken prices. Like, you're not convincing me to go buy your product because you are making, like, a satirical joke about what you're doing. Like, you're just trying to get too cute at this point.
Yeah, and they're trying to become meta, and it's such a dumb attempt to become meta. What really sucks about it too is, like, why the hell would you pick Norm MacDonald? I mean, to me, that guy hasn't done a single thing funny ever, I don't think. I mean, okay.
His run with
SNL. Celebrity Jeopardy, some of that stuff. But to me, every single bit that he does, it just reeks of, oh, this is Norm MacDonald playing somebody.
That's his thing. That's the joke.
I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it. And that's what I see all the time, where it's like, okay, here's Norm MacDonald playing Burt Reynolds. Here's Norm MacDonald doing Norm MacDonald doing this. And that's what it always is to me, is here's Norm MacDonald doing Norm MacDonald playing somebody. And I'm like, I'm sick of this joke. Get over it. KFC, you really, really dropped the ball on this one. Why the hell would you pick up somebody that I want to punch him right through the teeth? And I have for 20 years.
I can tell.
Yeah, yeah. How about you, Dan? You like Norm MacDonald?
I enjoy him. And I think because I follow him on Twitter, and some of the stories he shared about SNL and about stuff like that is really insightful. You can tell he's an intelligent guy.
Is it Norm MacDonald pretending to know how he does?
No, it's just... I think I like Norm MacDonald. Norm MacDonald, not really Norm MacDonald, the actor.
Well, that's I think that's a very, very valid statement that I would agree with.
And I think that because, I mean, he honestly hasn't done anything. I mean, he was the original, like, death on Family Guy for, like, an episode.
Oh, that's right.
Got replaced by Adam
Carolla.
Right. And then I loved him on Weekend Update, and then he was too good, or, like, he was too brash, so they fired him. Yeah. And, I mean, he wrote a shit ton of the Celebrity Jeopardies, and those are probably my favorite running sketch on SNL, so.
Well, stick to writing, and stay the fuck off the TV. Please. Please, Norm MacDonald. I hate you.
Yeah, I mean,
the actor, not the person, right?
I haven't met the person, but if the person is anything like the actor, he and I will not get along. He and I will not get along.
It's because he's Canadian, huh?
I don't give a shit if he's... San Diegan. I don't give a shit. I still will not like him. There's another commercial, though, that I've seen that bothers the shit out of me, and it's the Lexus commercial. Have you guys seen that?
I have not. You told
okay.
me.
I have seen this commercial, yes.
It is a very, very sleazy commercial.
Desperate Housewives of Lexus?
That's what it seems like to me. So here's the setup. This guy comes in, from what I'm assuming, to clean like to fix a pipe or something in the
house. To lay some pipe?
Oh no, he's a neighbor.
He is the neighbor, and he is trying to help this beautiful woman who's dressed somewhat sexy fix her pipes. So they proceed to, you know, casually do this as friends, fixing the pipes. All of a sudden, a pipe bursts. Everything, all the water goes all over the place. They have to take their clothes off. He's trying to fix the pipe, shove the pipe with his shirt, blah, blah, blah. Husband walks in. Somehow, magically, this guy, I have no idea how, because he's a pipe fixer, makes it through the door that the husband is blocking from the immediate shot before that, and is running outside into his Lexus and running away. And it's basically like, you know, drive fast because you're going to have to avoid some scandals in Alexis.
Was this targeted at the Ashley Madison population?
I'm assuming that they came in pairs, these mm-hmm. commercials. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming these commercials came in pairs. It would just make sense.
Yeah, well, it was convenient, too, that his Lexus was parked right out front when it looked like he was coming home for the night. So unless he was going to pay a hefty ticket for being parked in a loading zone.
It's just a nonsensical commercial all the way around.
Loading zone, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
After he
unloads.
Did some pipe.
Yeah. I get where you guys are going with this.
Sexual innuendo.
You guys should be marketers for Ashley Madison and Lexus. It'd be great.
Well, they need a new CEO, right?
Yeah.
Well, you know what I say? This is what I say. You advertise KFC, Lexus, and Ashley Madison all in one.
Ooh.
So you pick up your mistress.
No, no, no.
Eat dinner at KFC.
Married woman, pipe burst, needs help. Who comes to that door? Norm MacDonald as the colonel.
And then he takes his jacket off to seal the pipe, mm-hmm. and now he's Norm MacDonald again.
And husband comes in.
Yep.
Goes, the fuck, Norm? Norm goes, here's some chicken. Distracts him. Tate's wife out back door into Lexus. Rides off into sunset.
And then the last shot is the husband signing up for Ashley Madison.
I would say, ooh. No. As they ride off, it's just finger looking good comes across the sky.
That is pretty good. That is pretty damn good right there.
It's finger looking good.
And it cuts back to the husband, depressed, eating chicken, sobbing, signing up for DraftKings.
Masturbating into him. A biscuit.
Oh, hold on. Where did this go? Why? How did you? Hold on.
I love it. Print it. Put it on TV. Let's go. Fuck my day job. I am moving on to advertising.
Okay, well, there's no way to come back from
that. Can we throw some Doritos
in? I've got one. Can I throw an idea out there?
Go ahead.
Okay. Doritos?
Please bring us back from masturbating into a biscuit.
Okay, so here's my idea for the commercial. Very, very quick. Woman in Lexus drives over husband.
Drives over husband.
Over.
Drives over husband. Runs over husband.
Dead.
Gets on the highway. Peels off. Colonel pops out of back seat. Smiles, gives her a kiss on the cheek, cuts to black. Don't be chicken about your affair. Ashley Madison. Boom! Done.
But where's the actual chicken?
I don't know. That's campaign part two. We only could afford 10 seconds of ad space right now. So, yeah. I think that was a good episode, though.
Yeah, I'm going to go storyboard this commercial.
We're all going to come back with our KFC, Ashley Madison, Lexus pitches. And they better be on point, gents, for next week. Because we will get graded.
Out of quarters.
Out of quarters zero by Brian. Quarters.
Maybe we'll do spoonfuls of gravy.
Oh, no. No.
4 out of 5.
You can't bring up gravy after what you just said. You're off limits.
All right.
We're going down a deep, dark path. Dan,
I think mashed potatoes would have been worse.
Cut it off, Dan. Cut it off.
Oh,
fluffy mounds of mashed potatoes.
As always, we have been Pop Not Soda. If you get lonely and you miss us, go follow us on Twitter at @pop_notsoda.
Here comes the Dan Sexy voice.
If you want to hear more of Brian Owens about gravy and mashed potatoes, feel free to follow him at BOwens619. Brett can be found at Niece's Pieces. And as always, I am at Dan_Perez_. New episodes every Monday on iTunes Podcasts, at popnotsoda.podbean.com and pointandyell.com.
Yay, yay!
So, I wish you all the best this week, and we will see you next time.
Drumstick in hand.
Now I want some chicken.
As long as it's a drumstick and nothing else, Brian.
You don't want a breast?
That'll work, too. Just nothing that's your own appendage.
Special sauce?
Jesus Christ.